That way, the Masters, Tops, and Daddies get to know who you
are. And vice versa.
And vice versa. So, give me your name and your title. And then, because we're talking about role play and we're talking about verbal, I would like for you just to very quickly say what type of role play it is. Whether it's a type of dad, boy, son type thing, or if it's, no offense, Tops and Doms, but if it's the authoritative, I'm the master, boom! If that's what it is. So just kind of give us a little bit what you are, and then we're going to talk about more role play and verbal stuff. All right. So we will start with... Hey.
You're next.
It's going that way.
Well, you just heard my name. My name's David. I think currently my title is Daddy David, but I am working towards Sir David. My interests as far as roleplay is concerned is the father-son scenario where you have dad, his real son, and they accidentally start doing things together and realize that they like it and continue and get heavier and heavier. So that's me.
He's going that way.
You'll get it over with.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm ambushed. So my name's Kurt, and... I don't have it together.
And you don't. If you don't know, or you want
to
pass.
Oh, no.
It's okay to pass if you want.
Can I pass and come back?
Yeah.
Yes. Put my thoughts together. Thank you. All right.
My name is Michael. I prefer the slave role, you know, master or servant. Do you want to talk to me underneath that stuff?
Speak up, please.
I'm done, so...
Oh, okay.
Michael and Slade, he's on block.
And I'm Daddy Jeff, and I'm a versatile top. And I've done role play with, in the father's, just kind of like Mark was saying, father's son, but it's a little boy, and I'm a daddy. And they call me Daddy. Daddy, hello, Daddy. You know, yes, son. Will you hold me in your arms? You know, that kind of a thing. Just like it's like a little boy and the dad. Not a whole lot of it.
I'm Jim from University Heights. I heard somebody say service top, and that's what I want to call myself. I'll call myself a service top, but I find out what my boy wants and I give it to him. So it's very service-oriented, but as from the top point of view. And I don't know, I like to be, I could be a trainer, I could be a slut trainer, or a daddy boy.
Hey, my given name is Matthew, my biblical name. My title is Minty. It's a name that I took on several years ago, that gives me permission to do things that I can't do with Matthew. I guess in my history, I've kind of topped from the bottom, but right now I'm experimenting with being a disembodied top. So like a top, but not really being there.
I'm Donnie. I am a boy, a son. Although my last couple experiences, I was sort of a switch, and I enjoyed that. I like father-son role-play, age-play, but I talked about last week.
Yes, that's it.
Whoa, speak up. Astro, me? Up, slave, sub, servant. I carry a lot of weight. What I mean is, responsibilities. And it's a wonderful escape to be told to serve. I like it. Good morning.
I just got a new job, so I'm tired.
We know.
I'm Tommy.
Who?
Tommy.
Who?
Who?
I'm the one that said I was a service dog. Basically, he tells me he wants to play, and he tells me what he wants me to do to him, and I do whatever the Lord he says. And if any of the bottom wants me to do something to them, they gotta go through him. So, yeah. And then I have to do the puppy play stuff and train the puppies, and if I can find time, then I don't get a day off.
Okay, so I'm Daddy Ron, and I'm a daddy, and I like a lot of the role play. I get off on verbal. Verbal is what really gets me going, really gets me turned on, and I can't write stories for Nifty, but boy, we're doing stuff. I can come up with some stuff that is just knock your socks off. So I have a real vivid imagination.
I'm son James, Chula Vista, daddy, big boy. I am versatile. I really enjoy Dom's weather and the father son role play.
I'm Richard. I prefer Boy Richard Taurus Hunting. That's also my AKA online. If you're looking at those sites to see a Taurus Hunting, that's me. My title role, my preference would be submissive, and I take after my dad. I like verbal. And it's primarily a daddy boy role thing that I do, but I've been expanding like gangbusters the last couple of months. And I've expanded into all kinds of fantasy things, which include a lot of deeper submission and deeper S&M. And I'm really enjoying it.
My name is Frank, and I am on the road to becoming a master and taking ownership of that. I've done a fair amount of work in my growth, and the role that I would call myself is spiritual service top, because the intense play that we do, you know, if it's really very intense, it transcends you, and so that's the role that I enjoy, both for myself and for helping others to get to. So master and spiritual service top.
Brendan, you have a title. Submissive is probably. Alright. Right now, I guess most I need to be trained and just surrendering control, really.
My name is Scott. I have not thought about a title, although I frequently am called sir or daddy, but it seems to be in a different context than what is going to be talked about later on. The service top, that's the first time I've heard that. That may fit in some base, so in some aspects. So I'm interested to learn more about that. So certainly the dom or top role is very familiar and very fun. But the part of the service top aspect of the life is figuring out what the bottom likes and then giving or doing that. To me, it helps the energy exchange be more fun and interesting, and definitely more enjoyable. Thanks.
I'm JP, and I'm not sure I have a clear answer for the question tonight. So, I think that I still, well, I can move both ways with what turns me on. I've been pretty focused or interested in being, more submissive at times. So, I don't know. Yeah, I'm sorry, I still don't have a good answer. So I'm going to pass on that. I don't have a title.
Magnum and Sir is appropriate. Master is appropriate, and still under construction with Master Magnum. My energy is dominant. Service top, like that. And I like role play. And I haven't done that in a while, and you got me thinking about some scripts to get right up in my head. Yeah, that's it for now.
Steve, right here, boy Steve. And maybe in a different situation, it might be something different. But it does vary.
Hi, I'm David from North Park. On the Mankind Project, and a visitor here this evening. And also, I guess I'd be a daddy by default at this point in my life. At least I hear that phrase coming out of people's mouths a lot. And that's fine with me. But I can tell you a lot more, but these guys
don't. My name is Art, and I've been a participant in this group and in the past, and I'm also here tonight representing Mankind Project. I don't have a title. My friends and BDS and the other community know me as Ducky. And my fetish, would by default would make me submissive. I like to get booted, gagged, tied up. Lately, my favorite kink is skinheads, getting stomped on, pissed on, and hung up upside down. I enjoy that out-of-body experience. Glad to be here.
Vince, I'm in Hillcrest. I guess I would say bottom. But I wouldn't say sub, I guess, because I'm in the Navy, and I can kind of chafe against authority a little too much. So I don't think. Yeah, it's complicated. And role play, I'm not a very good actor, so I feel silly doing it. So I don't really role play. I mean, it intrigues me, but I don't think I'm very good at it.
My name is Ruben. I'm from Oceanside. I'm a pup, and I consider myself a switch. Sometimes I like to be dominant, sometimes I like to be a sub. That's pretty much it. No experience with, per se with roleplay, but I'm looking to get into it.
Kido, I default to bottom, sub, and pup things. But I also have been trying to explore more of the top dominant side just to see if I can do it, because it'd be nice to be more versatile. But I also like dad son stuff and other RP stuff.
My name is Felix. I live in Sor Mesa, and I'm mostly more of a boy and more to the submissive side, but there's a little bit of a dominant me growing up. Mm-hmm. Recently, otherwise, pretty versatile.
My name is Bob. I am Slave. And that pretty much sums it up. I mean, my favorite thing to do is to please my master.
Tony,
what's that? This ought to be good.
Oh, okay. Oh no! Come on, you're gonna make me blush.
No, fiddle-dee.
Well, okay. Tony, Normal Heights, putting aside the whole public figure thing, I am a master. I didn't really own it until I did the Butchman's experience, and what was holding me back was the idea that in order to be a master, you had to be an asshole. And during Butchman's experience, I realized I can be my kind of master, and I'm okay with that. So technically, yes, there's a lot of service top in there, but what seems to please the troops quite a bit is when I allow the beast to walk the streets, when I just get intense and ferocious, and it's my pleasures. And that's what really gets me going, and it needs to happen more often because it's a great outlet. All right.
I'm Keith. I'm a service slave, and I love serving one particular master because he stretches me in a lot of ways and safely.
And we're
going
to go back to Captain.
That's right.
Good, because I needed the time. I live in North County in Encinitas. My name is Kurt, and for the better part, I'm sorry.
I can say that.
And so, for the better part of my life, I think top would definitely be it. As in, like, really assertive, really aggressive. I kind of like it rough. And then I've learned recently, and thank you for using the word again, I guess I'm probably the ultimate switch. It's almost like I can flip a switch and suddenly become really passive, become very submissive. Even though I have claustrophobia and I don't think I could handle mummification, I don't have a problem being chained down. So I guess I can be very versatile. And it only started happening like in the last year or so. And I'm not sure what brought it on, whether it's age or experience, and it's getting stronger, and I think it has to do something with being here. Or being more accepting or being willing to let it happen. Because in closing, I don't know who gave me the label, but I think latent bottom is probably real appropriate.
Better latent than
that's it,
right?
Thank you.
Okay, so let's go ahead and hit it because we're running on time here. Let's talk about role play, and then we'll do verbal because verbal's gonna kind of come in once we decide. Okay, I'm the daddy, you're the boy. Now we're gonna get verbal. So let's put verbal aside for a little bit. So let's start out with role play. First thing you want to do, as you've heard a lot of people say, including me, the father-son thing, so now we're starting to kind of get taboo, and things are starting to get really weird. Who cares? Okay? Rule number one for role play, in my opinion, and you speak up and tell me if you think different, is whatever happens between two consenting adults, or three, or four, or five, or six, is all seven, is all good. Okay? We're all consenting adults. We're all over 18. So we're going to try to keep it at that, right? 18, we're all consenting adults. Yeah, I see a lot of... Well, I have a 21-year-old. I like young. I like old, too. But especially the old that can go down in age. You're a good piggy. So here we are with role play. Two consenting or more adults. We're all over 18, and other than the dad, boy, or father, son, what other, because that was the two kind of that I kept picking up on. Any others that you want to throw out there? Just because you say it, we're not going to think, oh my God, that's what you're into. It's something that you know about, not necessarily into. I'm going to try to protect the innocent. So what else besides those two?
Teachers. Uncles.
Uncle. coach, teacher, policeman,
cop and inmate.
Fireman.
The executive and the temp.
Now that's kinky.
Sergeant, private, so you're in the military. In fact, does Party City have the father? That's one of my all-time favorites. So and those things, and how many people in here have never done at least one of those role plays? I know someone said something that they hadn't because they weren't good at it.
What was your question?
Oh, I'll make you good.
Who has not
done a role play? Put your hand.
No, I was going to say something. Yeah. Everybody in this room has done role play. You've been doing it since you were a kid.
You can play straight.
When you had to learn. No, when you grew up and you sit there and you had toys when you were playing with a kid, what in the world do you think you were doing? Mm-hmm. That's role playing. It's pretending.
Yeah.
It's true.
All the pups. You know, I think you were the one that made a comment. You don't think you've ever really done much role play. What do you think pub play is?
Well, yeah, I guess
it's nothing but role play. I mean, I don't really think our bosses would be too happy with us going in gear, going to Party City. Go, well, we might have made.
I worked at Party City. You might have been in there.
And that's one of the things too. Now, I'm just talking about my experience because I have a pup, and he likes to play with Daddy's bone.
Yeah.
Go find the bone, go hide the bone. Yeah. So there's a lot of fun with pup things too.
Kiss the bone. Is it a prisoner thing where you're like a prisoner and there's somebody else like either a gang member or
interrogator.
Or interrogator, yeah, something like that.
How many people in here know about the Nifty website? Or who doesn't know about the Nifty website?
.org.
Okay, you need to see some of us that have our hands down. It's really a really great site for reading stories for free and being able to kind of imagine. Some people have, like, no brag, I think I have a wild imagination. And some people don't. So with reading those stories, and like I said, everything there, athletic section, incest section, youth, adults,
anything,
military, there are all sections there with thousands of stories underneath it.
Pup,
so
is there squid play on there?
So that's a good site to look at and read and kind of get your thing. So this is how it's going to happen. I think this puppy is really fucking hot.
Yep.
So right. We talk, and he kind of have a thing going or whatever. So we're like, okay, you're a pup. I'm a daddy, our trainer. So, see, we've already started a role play here already. So we start the role play thing up, and he's in his puppy gear. And so you see how it starts? So, or it's like, I'm with one of my boys, and he's my boy. And so that's how that starts. You don't have to always role play when you're having sex or whatever. I mean, that's not a requirement. But for us fetish kind of kinky motherfuckers, it's just kind of something we want to do.
Yeah, I always thought it started when the little boy was laying down in bed and he was pretending he was asleep.
So, in my case, I am very versatile. I can be the daddy, he's my pup. I can be the daddy, he's my boy. And I can also, I love my boys, I love my pup, but I do a better role play as a boy than they do. I'm really good at it. So we've talked about being adults and it being consensuous, the different types that we have. Anybody else want to make any more comments kind of about the role play part of it before we kind of get into a little bit of the verbal? I mean,
it doesn't always need, but sometimes having
gear that is associated with role play is a lot of fun too.
Yeah.
Like the businessman executive, he comes in a suit and they have a typewriter or a computer.
Right. Oh yeah. Definitely, definitely wardrobe goes to it.
Well,
I mean,
it enhances.
Yeah. I mean, a pup with his tail,
a
piggy and little pink lacy underwear. Speedos. The coach and the, you know, the kid that's on the swim team, you know, the whole thing. In fact, it's really funny because when I lived in Temecula, I had a third bedroom that was a playroom, and I spent thousands of dollars on eBay buying all sorts of stuff from the football player
shoulder pads
to the jerseys. And I used to get a lot of buy guys over off of Craigslist that wanted to role play. So, you know, it was like, okay, I swing open the closet door. What gear? What do you want to be? What do you want to be when you grow up?
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I even had one guy that had this fantasy about cops. Well, I have a couple of police uniforms, so he came over. I was in my uniform. And what amazed me was he went to the trouble of going on the computer and printing out a sample speeding ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
And came over to the door and said, "Sir, my wife can't know about this ticket. I'll do anything." So, you know, besides the gear, you can always have props, too. So, I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it gives you that chance to... The old-fashioned expression, Calgon, take me away. It gives you that chance to do something different.
I wanted to say to you, too, how you kind of felt, you know, you feel like it's nervous or something, you know, doing it, because you've never really done it before. That's the same way with everything when you first start doing it in the beginning. Everything kind of feels a little silly, and you just kind of get used to it. And it's really not that bad to do. You just need to do it. And yeah, you're going to be a little bad, a little awkward at first. That's not a problem. It's awkward.
Yeah, awkward and clumsy is not bad. It's just awkward and clumsy.
Yeah, and if it's something you've never done before, then, you know, it is kind of like, okay, what do I do? You just kind of scratch your ass and go, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So, that's why I was talking about the nifty thing. Kind of read that, and you'll kind of like, ugh. And put your hands in your pocket when you're reading it, too.
Front pocket?
And like now is a good time, too, to kind of get some extra gear. Like he was talking about with the father, the priest thing. You can get those at Halloween costume shops.
Another easy one is the John and the Hooker on El Cajon Boulevard.
Yeah. And one of the things I noticed that Party City has, it's the one-piece bodysuit that comes in all different spandex, and it's all in one.
Yep.
I'm kind of like...
They're about $50 to $60. If you let me know, I can get 30% off.
So it's things like that that's kind of like right now you can pick up. Otherwise, you get it online later, you know, it might be more. So start getting your gear. Go on eBay and look at stuff like that.
Or that thrift store.
Yeah.
Store, you can get stuff there in the dollar store.
Yeah, especially like old military uniforms.
Yeah.
Not old, but, you know, used military uniforms and stuff like that. Build you a gear locker. Use that for your role play.
Oh, and another thing for City, yeah, there's a ton of cop uniforms there. There's even your baby stuff. Every little uniform you can make up for the role playing stuff, it's there. And if we don't got it, go to the computer. We got 19,000 costumes.
Yeah.
Well, and something that's real simple. I mean, if, you know, if you want to start out, like you and a friend, you want to start out, and you're both kind of like, okay, what do I do? You know what? Go to the 99-cent store, get you a whistle, put it around your neck, put on a pair of Speedos, have the boy put on a pair of Speedos, and just go from there. Not a lot of cost. Everybody has Speedos. Who all has Speedos? okay, so... role play is actually a lot of fun. I have noticed that from time to time, it's like every time I'm with one of my boys, or my pup in particular, who's actually also my partner, we always role play. And so that's something that's kind of been bothering me. It's like, okay, I don't want to role play every time. You're my partner, so I want us just to make love or have sex, whatever. every now and then without me being daddy and you being the pup or the boy or whatever. So that's something, too, that you might look into when you're getting to do role play with a partner or a boy or something like that, is break the monotony by just kind of having normal sex. without it being, you know, a role play situation.
Everything that you've said has had like a dominance and a submissive side to it.
Mm-hmm.
And really I needed that time to think, is that because I can switch from one to the other, I really like having sex with somebody who's an equal.
Yeah. Absolutely.
In addition to like the switching from one to the other.
Yeah.
But to do that,
you could both be boys wearing Speedos and play with each other.
Been there.
See, I'm in the role play here, so
yeah.
No, absolutely. And that's what I'm saying is, I have noticed that it's like, you know, it's like every time we're role play, and it's like, okay, now we need to take a break at least once and just have Ron and Tommy sex or something, you know. So okay, so any more questions on role play gear? Nifty.org. Okay, so let's talk about a little bit about verbal. Verbal doesn't necessarily have to be in role play. I mean, as you know, I mean, you're a top and you're a bottom. Oh yeah, fuck me. I kind of do this kind of low because I don't want to get too crazy, but fuck me harder, blah blah blah. So that's verbal. Okay, and it is still role play. It's a top bottom type thing or whatever. So. But also with the verbal, you know, it's like, okay, puppy, get the bone. Or, come on, boy, take care of daddy. Come on, son. So that's the verbal, and then, you just keep going deeper and deeper into it, whatever it is that you're into, whatever you're wanting to go. Anybody want to talk about verbal?
Authenticity counts in a big way. One of the examples I give when I'm talking with people, you know, on this topic is porn dialogue doesn't work in real life. Yeah, suck that big dick. Yeah, suck that big dick. You know, it's like, okay, people can tell that it's not real. That the more authentic you are, if it's so, say it. That's the most important thing with verbal. You have to be putting it all out there because people have bullshit detectors. They can tell if you're not being authentic. But the more that you get into the spirit, and the more you just dive deep into it, then that's what excites people. Because the example that I give when I'm doing any kind of verbal is think of just pivoting the top of their skull off, finding their pleasure center, and jamming your finger down on it, but verbally, using little cues that you know turn them on. What I do when I'm playing with somebody is I evaluate the responses to different things. I'll say something as a test to see whether or not they get more excited. If they do, then I start really pushing the button in that particular direction. For me personally, the goal is that I like to take choice away. That's one of my major kinks, in that I'm going to push somebody right over the edge verbally. That's a large amount of verbal type, you know, words where I know that if I say a certain combination of things, they're not going to have any choice. They're going to come like that. They're just going to get too overwhelmed because it's all up here. That's what the value of verbal is. It's very important because, yes, you can, you know, do this, you can do that, you can do all these different things, but where the orgasm really, really, really wants to begin is with verbal. And like I said, that, you know, just statements of intention can be just the most powerful verbal of all, at least for me. You know, that just making a simple declarative statement saying, this is what I expect of you, and we're going to get started on it right now. You know, in a deep, masculine voice. Or you know, at that point, the butthole starts snapping like castanets. You know, but, you know, I could go on and on and on. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and one thing he's talking about with the porn thing, I mean, 90% of straight porn is, you know, that's all there's to it. But, okay, I'm going to make fun of gay porn, too. 90% of gay porn is, oh, yeah, fuck me harder. And it's over and over and over. I like porn. The first 10 minutes of it, where it's the scene set up, where the coach comes in to the kid, you know, changing clothes or whatever. And then once they start having sex, it's like, Max, turn it off. You know, because it's the same thing over and over. It's just different people. So that goes in with that role play. And to me, the verbal of getting introduced, but then once they get together, it's the same 10 words over and over and over. So to me, that's boring verbal.
Mm-hmm. Or if it's Czechoslovakian porn like Bellamy, then it's oye, 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 oye. It's like, people say that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think verbal is very important too, because especially if you're playing with somebody that you don't really know too well, that doesn't really know exactly what you want, you have to be able to express what you want the other person to do.
Right.
Or what you want to do to them.
Right. And because it's verbal, but it's also communicating. I mean, you know, the boy can say daddy in several different ways, and there's certain ways they can say it that's going to get me clocked up. You know, there's times it's like, oh yeah, dad. So it's the verbal is also going with everything, you know, going with it, the way it's said and stuff like that. So.
That being said, taking the being genuine into account, I've met many guys who get into being degraded.
Mm-hmm. Humiliation?
Humiliation. If you want to be genuine about that, because you know that this is what somebody wants, it's not in my personality to be degrading, but is there a way to put on that persona and be genuine about it,
yeah.
Learn that so that you can be
real
with it.
Does somebody want to respond to that?
Yes.
That's what I'm asking.
It's very, 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 very simple.
Ver.
You work, don't you?
Huh?
You work, don't you?
Yes.
You deal with people, right?
Stupid ones, yes.
Better. Okay. If they want to be degrading, all them stupid people you've got to deal with?
Just going to work mode.
Just going to work mode. It's simple. Very, very simple.
Wow, that's brilliant.
And you get rid of that bent.
That frustration.
Yeah, work too. You're sorry.
Wow.
A couple of things kind of made me wonder about the negotiation process, because you're going to have people that want certain things, and then you're in your position, like you want to do certain things, and sometimes they're going to come together and maybe sort of talk how you negotiate that. I mean, some of it's going to be natural, but some of it's probably, especially during, you want to get that done before you get into the scene, because, well, or maybe you just take time out and say, hey, well, you know, how's this going for you?
Well, and that's very true, because I've had run into that also, where, you know, I'm talking to someone about a dad boy scene or something, and then I switch over into, I'm sorry, dad boy. Did I say dad boy? Dad boy. And then I switch over and I say son. No. I don't do that. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
So you have to be, you know, apparently it's okay to be a boy and have sex with dad, but they don't want to be
a son.
So there's a lot of people out there that don't want to do that. And that's fine. Don't do anything you don't want to do. Don't do anything you're not comfortable with. And you negotiate that with whoever, you know, you're going to play with. I mean, even if it's two subs and Speedos playing. Yes.
Two comments. One, what we're really, really describing, okay, you can use your dick on somebody, you can use your ass on somebody, you can use your mouth on somebody, you can use your hands, etc. All we're talking about is using our words as a sexual stimulant.
Right.
It's no different from a dildo, for God's sake, in that we're hitting their pleasure center just through their ears. That's all. You know, because, like I said, a mental orgasm can be the best one of all, you know, when you're doing that stuff. Two, I'm terrified of doing degradation play. That's why I've never done it in my life, because I grew up with degradation aimed at me. And I know how to do it better than anybody else. And I'm afraid that if I allow that out, then I don't know how to stop. And I don't want to crush somebody's soul, because I know how to do it. And so I have to be real responsible about that. So that's my fear of doing any kind of degradation play, that I don't know if I have the key to turn it off, you know, without destroying somebody's soul. You know, so that's my fear. Yes.
My comment to that, there's those guys out there that want their balls crushed, right?
Yep.
They like to be kicked around. Mm-hmm. Same concept. You can kick them in the balls, but you don't want to destroy their balls. I mean,
right.
It takes a lot of damage to it, and you can beat the living hell out of them, but it's the same concept.
You just got to know when to cut it off. I mean, you kick guy in the balls, and yes, he loves it. He wants you to keep doing it. But you know, there's a point where you can't just go get a sledgehammer and hit him in the balls.
And that's all going to do in part of that negotiation now. And I'm one of these people that I believe in the negotiation thing. But I mean, I don't want to write a script and run it down to the ground because then I'm going to be like, okay, you know what, forget it, I'm bored with this already. So, you know, you want to kind of do the general rules. For an example, there's a movie called Like Father, Like Son. It's porn. And it's dad and boys having sex, not with their daddy. The boy is with this guy's dad and this. So it's really cool. But then at the end of the movie, because the dads are all in these long robes, hooded robes, and at the very end, this one guy is taking care of this guy in a robe, and the guy takes his hood off, and he goes, "Dad?" Anyway, you already got a mouthful, so you might as well just go.
Yeah, Kansas City truckloads the same way.
Yeah, so... Those are good starts to things like that too. Like I said, porn, the first 10 minutes of it when they're setting up the scene is how you can get used to those things and find out what you like. And also I won't be able to get on the site.
Shameless plug.
I won't be able to get on the site tomorrow because all of you guys are on it. Anybody, because we're gonna take a break and then we've got good Lord, I'm getting a Mankind Project that's going to talk for a little bit. Anybody want to bring anything else about role play?
Oh, yes.
Verbal?
I got two things. One, with the website that he's talking about, if you're like me that doesn't really like get into reading a ton of stuff, the porn stories you can get into them, and by the time you don't realize it, you've already read like 3 books and you're already hard to rock. The other thing is... he really hasn't mentioned this, is when you're role-playing with each other and doing the stories, y'all can actually write a story. Like, they will say something, and you'll say something back, and you just keep going back and forth of it, and y'all make y'all's own little role-play. To me, that's the best thing. I don't like, you know, okay, here's a script, and we're going to follow the script. No, fuck that bullshit. Let's do it ourselves. Now, you keep going back and forth with each other, and you'll get more and more and more into it. Yes, it'll probably get really, really fucking nasty there, but it's great.
Also, real quick, we're passing around the hat for the donation for the rental space of the rental for the space. Anybody else? Somebody else want to say something?
Well, yeah, you know, I've been taking care of this box of these things that were made up of. The festival is those cards, and I'm going to relinquish that responsibility.
Okay.
I'd like to relinquish
that. And what I would like for everybody to do, when you go to leave, grab a stack of these cards. This is an advertisement for Fetchman San Diego.
And walk around in your neighborhood and put
them on
every card.
That's right. Every card.
That'd be great.
You'd be surprised what you'll bring in.
But take these and put them in your car. And then the next time you go to PEX or the Brass Rail or Number 1 Fifth Avenue and play Pigeon Area or whatever it is they do, just take a handful in there and lay them up. You know every bar has stacks of this stuff all over there. Go ahead and put some in there. Be our
Goodwill Ambassador.
Goodwill Ambassador and get rid of this for us.
Word out.
Okay, so donations. We got getting all the announcements done. And because, like I said, never mind, I won't say that. We'll wait till next week. So let's take a 10-minute break, and then we're going to come back in and have Mankind Project talk to us a little bit. Well, at least I remember that one.
Very good.
So, and I just want to go ahead and say now, in case for some reason I don't get to talk next Wednesday, the next one's demo night, and then the next one's the thing. I've really, really enjoyed the last 3 months of hosting Fetishman San Diego. I love Fetishman San Diego. I love all you guys, and I would love for us to run out chairs. So I especially enjoy. I'll put them on the spot. Seeing the young people come in.
Yeah.
I mean that's really cool. I know a time when. Young Tommy, as he used to be called, was like one or two of the only young guys in the club with all the rest of us
geezers?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And so it's really nice to see you guys, and you've already seen that the old guys are not going to attack you.
Unless you put on
speed. Unless you put on speed.
You're all done, man. So I'd like to see more young people come in. I'd like to see more older people come in. Because what Fetish from San Diego, the big part to me is having the friendship and getting to know people and getting to know who they're into and not physically into. What Fetish that they're into. And it's like we're all one happy family. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, I just want to say thank you for your patience with me the last 3 weeks or 3 months, and it's been a blast.
You've done a great job, Ron.
Yay!
I just want to make a quick comment. The thing that I noticed about Ron during his, his evil reign, or whatever, that he always starts with a blessing. He may not be using those terms, but he's there to make sure that the new people feel welcome. He acknowledges the people who shows up. He makes sure that people are comfortable. And he's just a wonderful, wonderful tribal elder for us. And he really is a beautiful role model for the rest of us. Thank you.
Okay, so take 10 minutes, and we're going to come back. And...
That extra custom touch. Make sure all the good stuff comes on the bottom.
Hey, what are you kids doing with that?
I'll get you some more water, too.
Oh, I like that one. That's a good mode right there. So it's even better on that is when you move it. Oh, you have to hit it 3 times in a row. It's programmed that. It's weird. See, I usually would take a brush to blow it and blow out so that the threads are further apart. I'll be doing that soon. I just got these today.
They're cool.
They really are. You can get them in 6-foot lengths, too. This is supposed to be 3-foot. It's a little longer. But the big problem is having a space big enough to do the fancy moves with, as you saw from my hitting the fans. But, oh, yeah, totally. Oh, yeah, totally. I'm going to get another set, actually, too, that does different stuff. This was antonamellon.com, and then there's also, I want to say it. It's not playfor.com, it's... Galaxy Fire, Friendly Firestorm. So this is a little stiffer than I would normally do, but it'll work for the kind of purposes that I have. I've been practicing. Do you know what technical poi is? I promise not to hit you. Click, click, click. Okay. But do you know what technical? Okay. Now you've seen Hawaiian dancers with the fire with the spinning line.
Yeah,
that's poi. But there's a shit ton of things you can do that are really wonderful. All right. Gentlemen? Uh-huh.
Get away from the front porch.
That's right. I blame Michael. He brought all those yummy snacks.
I have a water for you, sir. I mean, you're ready for it?
No. It is 8:21.
Oh my God!
Gentlemen, grab it and get. We're running late.
Sit your butt in the seat. You're ready to go.
Where are those single tails?
Got him in the car.
Okay, so the last part is going to be the Mankind Project. I got it right this time. And they're going to talk a little bit about the Mankind Project, what it is, where it is, and what's going on. So I will turn it over to them, and then I will shut up.
Okay, I'm going to lead in.
Okay, go ahead.
Be really clear that all of these men here, I do not know any way to rate them, any of them, any higher than I already do. These are the finest kind of men. These are the sort of men that if you had them as friends for the next 40 years, you would be a much happier man. These are fine, high-quality men. They have done a ton of work in their lives to become better men. I didn't know about the Mankind Project and until Magnum very kindly introduced me to it back in March is when I did the initiation weekend. It was like going home for me in that it's not everybody's experience, but it was for me. The work that I've been doing with this group has been very analogous to Mankind Project in that it is brotherhood-oriented. It is hugely, hugely helpful in terms of personal growth. I aspire to be a better man, but I can't do it by myself. I'm pretty good at trying, but you know, I'm not really the best at it. What I need is other men who will call me on my shit, who will support me in my growth, who will be brothers to me, and it's wildly diverse, and it's worldwide. So I was delighted when I found Mankind Project because the philosophy behind Fetishman San Diego, what you guys have been thriving on for so long, is very similar to the vibe of Mankind Project. I invited these wonderful gentlemen to come tonight to talk about Mankind Project. This is not meant to be a sales pitch. I want you guys to know what's available out there, that there are things that we do that they don't, and vice versa. We supplement each other. And I'm really, really glad that my favorite men here get to see this and get to hear about it. I want you to know more. So with that, Magnum, please, would you start off?
Yeah.
Feel ambushed?
I do not. All right, so in this here tonight, and we were talking at the break, you've heard men talk about being authentic. Mm-hmm. You heard about men being, you know, you heard about spirituality. You heard about men, you know, BDSM as a sacred place. Mm-hmm. You've heard about
playing.
Yeah, and you heard about, yeah, and role playing. And you've heard, we've been talking about that, about those particular subjects here in this circle. And the Mankind Project is, if you took those subjects and you took that out of here and you went to another place, and that other place would be your heart. And you went into your heart to take a look at one of the things is that I know for myself, before I did the Mankind Project, there were things that blocked me from being vulnerable and being real with another man. And it was like some of my fears is that one of the big ones is that, you know, I can't do this, I'm not good enough at that, which would stop me, and I would compare myself to somebody else would stop me from being fully who I want to be. And what the Mankind Project, you keep hearing it, but what the Mankind Project offers is a weekend called the New Warrior Training Adventure. And it's a weekend. Before I do that, this is my friend David. This is David Piazza, and David is the center director for the Mankind Project here in San Diego, and he was invited tonight to just sit and be witness to fetish men, and if he wants to, he could share about what the New Warrior Training Adventure.
Tony, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and I can say that I feel home here. I feel at home here because I'm seeing men being authentic, mm-hmm. sharing a part of themselves that perhaps outside of this circle they wouldn't feel so comfortable sharing, and being who you are. And, you know, for me, that's what the Mankind Project has been and continues to be. It's a journey for me, a journey to that authenticity, that to a place that I didn't even know existed, or if I did know, I wouldn't want to go there. You know, I came into MKP about 6 years ago, and I have to say it's not always been an easy ride. Definitely, especially this first year as being center director, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. I I wouldn't trade it for the world. So we sit in circles like this every week, and they're safe, and they're sacred, and they're confidential, and men can do their work. They can go to places where they probably have never been before in their lives, in terms of touching places here. You know, and as I look around this room, you know, if I asked how many men are younger than 40, how many hands would go up?
Okay.
All right, so the men whose hands have just gone up, I mean, I've been out longer than you've been, you know, walking the face of the earth, right? I came out when I was 18 in 1970. And when I came out, I didn't have anyone telling me what it was like to come out. I just came out because I had no role models. You know, growing up as a young man in Philadelphia in an Italian family, you know, I didn't have a father who showed me what it meant to be a man, who showed me what true masculinity is all about. I never had any of that. I learned that on the streets of South Philadelphia. And it's not much different from the TV shows that you see sometimes, you know. So if I don't know what it means to be a man, if I don't know what it means to be a gay man, then where do I find that out? How do I learn to become the man I was born to be rather than the man that other people tell me I should be?
Mm-hmm.
And then I try to live up to this expectation, and it's not me, and I'm constantly falling short.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly beating the crap out of myself because I am not worthy, I am not good enough, I don't matter. Those are the things I learned that I didn't even know were hiding underneath. It was what was blocking me from being the most magnificent vision of who I am as a human being, as a man. And that's the journey that MKP offers to each one of you sitting here. An opportunity to touch a part of you that perhaps you've never in your life touched before. And to be the most authentic man that you have ever been. In a circle of men who love you. For the first time in my life, I'm in a circle of men that I trust with my heart. You know? And some of them are sitting right next to me. You know? I've learned things about them in this setting, and I've also learned things about them in a different setting, in a very deeper level, and they've learned about me. Because we're not afraid. I'm no longer afraid to let men see into my heart. So if that sounds attractive to you, words like authenticity and vulnerability and learning how to be an emotional human being, how to deal with emotions outside of anger and rage, you know, then come to MKP. We have a training weekend coming up in November, 14, 15, and 16 up at Stallion Oaks Ranch. It's our first training. And we're also in May of next year having a gateway. A gateway training is geared to a particular population. So in May, it's a LGBTQ gateway. We also do gateways for the Orthodox Jewish population community. We do gateways for the deaf and hard of hearing community. We do gateways for the African American community. We have urban gateways that we take into inner cities. So we're a very diverse group. We started here in the United States about 25 years ago, and now we are worldwide. One of our largest centers is Johannesburg, Cape Town, Australia, New Zealand, France, Germany. We're everywhere in Canada, and we're growing. So again, Tony, thank you for having me here to speak about something that I love very dearly, very dear to my heart, and the men who are part of it.
Thank you.
And we have some things that Art is happy to give out, right, that you can work on
the table.
Okay?
Yes.
And would you like to talk?
Yeah, David spoke to our Norman Project's flagship weekend. It's not a seminar, and it's not a retreat. It is a training, and it is an adventure, and it's an adventure of self-discovery. My experience was at 40 years old. Got sober, finally. Got off the drugs, finally. Found out that I'm still alive, even though that I've been HIV positive since 1985, and living with AIDS since 1997. And here I am, discovering that I'm still alive, without a sense of belong in any particular place. And a man, a friend of mine, invited me to a men's weekend adventure. And that experience for me woken up a sense of belonging and also a sense of purpose. And you know, I wake up with a new path and new goals every day. I'm just a regular man. And those pamphlets that I distributed earlier, you know, the one that the multicolored one, the rainbow one, it asks all those questions. You know, what makes a man a man? Is it you know, their how they their job, how much money they make, the kind of house that they live in. You know, the kind of things that I have learned that makes me a man is how I give myself. And you know, you may discover something, you know, what the meaning of being a man is for you. You know, and you know, I invite all of you to you know, take a risk.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, when I was introduced to Make Our Project and when I signed up to do the training adventure, there weren't that many old Hispanic gay men with AIDS and on that training. You know, I'm going to say that I was, I can say that I was the only one there. However, those 20 men that signed up for that weekend, for that mysterious weekend, for that adventure, they all loved me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And supported me and helped me go through these experiences where I got to release a lot of my old way of thinking and a lot of my experiences in the past that I have been carrying and that have been weighing me down. And I learned to I finally accepted myself. I'm going to say that I learned how to accept myself because I'm still learning that.
Mm-hmm.
I accepted myself and I accepted others' help and love.
Mm-hmm.
So I also had some excuses about, oh, I can't afford it. And this packet that I handed out, there's my card there. Currently, I am the enrollment coordinator for Makeup Project in San Diego. Call me, and we believe in Make Our Project that you know, financial situation should be an excuse for not to get experience. Thanks.
And to pick on what Art just said about risk, how willing are you to step out of your comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
and step into the I don't know zone,
mm-hmm.
to step into that panic zone and live there? Are you willing to live with the I don't know? And that's what I offer to you tonight. And the weekend training is $675. And as Art said, we do have scholarships and money available, so don't let money stop you. And we also have meetings weekly around San Diego that we call I-groups, integration groups, and the majority of them are open. So if you're interested in going to an I-group, contact Art, contact myself. I believe my card is in there.
Or me.
Magnum knows about I-groups, and so does Tony and some of them in here. So you're welcome to come and sit in one of our weekly groups and just watch. It doesn't cost anything. There's no obligation. You can just sit there, watch what we do, and if you don't, you know, if it's not your cup of tea, then that's fine. But you're welcome to come and visit with us. Thank you.
JP, did you want to say something?
I'm the newbie, so I can only speak from my experience, which is actually all I can speak from at any time anyway. So, yeah, I just completed the weekend less than a month ago. And
I was there.
That's right. And like Tony, I felt like I was coming home. And I was quite amazed because in all my life I didn't know that there was a place where I could go and be with men and be supported and loved and seen. And I have to be honest with you because I want everyone to know that I went to a place which was kind of at the edge of my comfort zone. It would be maybe even beyond the edge of my comfort zone. But I got through it and just learned some interesting things about myself.
And if you want to learn about yourself and grow and expand and be all that you can be in life, I think this is the group to do it. So there's sort of a caveat. You know, I'm really excited about the Mankind Project. I'm on staff the weekend in November. I would encourage people if they are looking for that to, yeah. There's something else I wanted to say about Elizabeth. Just check it out. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll come up. It'll come back to me.
Mm-hmm. A little bit more editorializing for a moment. I'm going to talk about pivoting. When I'm describing what happens with Fetishman in San Diego, a new guy shows up. He's shy. He's in his, you know, I'm uncomfortable. I don't know if I'm going to fit in. I don't know if people are going to treat me shabbily. But he's on a particular path. It may not be the best path for him, the most comfortable path, but he doesn't know any other path, so he stays on it for a long, long time because of decisions he's made in the past. When he runs into our group, and he keeps coming back and he starts taking some chances and he's getting rewarded for it, then he starts pivoting his life to parallel ours, more of the joy that we've seen in this room and all that. My experience of the Mankind Project is a massive pivot in my own life. I am pivoting majorly in the direction of the Mankind Project because I've always been a man who cared deeply about growth and about breakthroughs and not being stuck. And this is the most enriching environment for it. I mean, I've had massive changes in my life that I've gladly taken since March because it's an environment for growth and encouragement. And just as an additional point, yes, it was $675. I would have paid 10 times as much, gladly, no trouble at all. I love the results. Also, not a problem with the diversity. I mean, I'm balls out, totally openly gay, totally leather man, you know, no hiding at any of the Mankind Project stuff I've done. I'm treated like a king. People adore me. You don't have to worry about people treating you shabbily or anything like that. It's not the culture. The culture is all about diversity and all about treasuring what makes us different. So, anything you want to add?
And just to wrap it up, you know, all the men have shared and everything. And you heard, you know, at the beginning of this meeting, we talked about the Bushman's experience, and now we're talking about the New Warrior Training Adventure. And I just want to let you know that these are just things that I am, and we're here, and Frank down here, this is just stuff that I've experienced, and I just want to offer it to you. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, something's wrong, something needs to be fixed. It's all about making connections with yourself and able to be your own man, how you be, how you show up, and be authentic about it. And by doing the New Warrior Training Adventure or doing Butchman's, it's all about growth and development. And if you're not there yet, you're just not there yet. And if it speaks to you, I would encourage you to take a risk and look into it, go to the website, talk to Arp, talk to me or anybody here who's gone through it. And, it's just opened me up to be the man that I want to be. And that's good, bad, and indifferent. You know, I know we meet here, you know, for a couple of hours and we don't see each other, you know, until the next Wednesday. And then sometimes I do run into you all. And, you know, I can be who I am, how I am. And I just want to just let you know that we love to play, and there sometimes is like, let's take a moment and find out what's going on inside.
Yep.
You know, it's good to look good and be up on the cross and flog and do all this play acting, and I love all that. And it's a time to check in too, and these two platforms can offer you to do the check in. And I think that's it.
Yeah. I also wanted to include that Mankind Project also puts together other workshops and seminars, and they have periodically throughout the year multicultural seminars, emotional literacy. If you want more information or if you're not interested on the weekend, that's fine. If you want more information regarding the other workshops and seminars, some of them are no cost, and it's not required that you have become a member of Mankind Project. I have a clipboard up there. Just write your name, your phone number, your email, and I can forward you information on the next opportunity for workshops and seminars. And make on projects, phrases that we want to change the world one man at a time. Mm-hmm. And MECOM project has been doing that for the past more than 25 years. Reached more, probably like about 50,000 men. 50,000. And, I need more men like you. The young ones, the gay ones, the kinky ones, the old ones. The seasoned ones.
Class.
Yeah, because it's about changing the world to not only just better men, but making a better world. And we continue it by sitting here in this circle. Yes.
And we're having a picnic on Saturday at Stallion Oaks Ranch in Descanso. You're all invited to come from 10 to 4.
I'm going
to
be there, and anybody wants to ride, come with me.
So come on, join us, have some food, meet some other guys, and just enjoy.
We're going to have a bouncy house.
with those floggers.
We're going to have a bouncy house and a face painting. And what else? Portraits?
What was it?
No?
Massage?
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
And if you ride show with me, I'll tell you some Stallion Oaks stories that'll curl your hair from the old days. Cool. Well, thank you, gentlemen. This is beautiful camper.
Daddy?
And that's it, guys. If you would please help yourself to whatever's left. And put the chairs back. We would greatly appreciate it. And
we want to acknowledge Michael for having brought those yummy treats. Did we want to do a group photo, Mr. Photographer?
If you like, yeah.
Sure. Come on, guys. Anybody who's camera shy, stay over there. But group photo, we're going to do here.
That's right here.
Fabulous.
Oh yeah, thank you.